today on Real Radio.
Right now, you are living in what is referred to in theological terms as the dispensation of grace or the church age. There's so much you and I take for granted. Even if you're here tonight and you are a full-blown atheist unbeliever in God, you are so blessed by the God you don't believe in. You really are.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Come My People, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future, the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ, for one, and also what's going to happen in the last days and the events that lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In the first 18 verses of Isaiah chapter 26, we saw how much God really loves Israel. The existence of Israel today is one of the reasons why there's so much trouble in this world. We also looked into the coming 1,000-year reign, or what's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. During his second coming, Jesus will rule and reign from the New Jerusalem. Now in verses 19 through 21, we look into the last half of the Great Tribulation period, back when the Antichrist breaks his promise of peace. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that Isaiah chapter 26 opens with, in that day, three very significant words that place a timestamp on what's being said. It's in that day, or in a future event, when God will restart his purpose for Israel. And now in his lesson called, Come My People, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask you to bless this study. God, you're awesome. Your word is awesome. It's us we're concerned about. We need to do it. We need to believe it, every word of it, and put it into action. So, Lord, we pray that you'd educate us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We trust that you're here tonight. Jesus, you said that whenever your word is presented, given, the Holy Spirit will be there to teach us. So, Lord, we're asking you now to manifest your presence. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So, church, here's the reason why tonight's a little bit weird, but yet it shouldn't be, because this is how God rolls sometimes. And that is, last Sunday, you were here, and we paused and we did a message on why you should believe in the rapture. And we talked about that, and you can only talk about it so much, but here's the amazing thing. I had no recollection, I'm sorry to confess, my level of, my lack of level of depth, but I completely forgot how Isaiah chapter 26 ends. Why do I say that? Because it ends with the last several verses being extremely, extremely peculiar. Every Bible scholar that has written commentaries on the book of Isaiah will make mention, or they won't mention it at all, that the book of Isaiah chapter 26 ends in a unique way. You'll see why tonight. Why do I bring it up? Because there are some scholars. Now, I'm not a scholar. I wish I was. When I think of scholars, I think of people like Dr. Ed Heinsohn or Gary Habermas at Liberty University, world's greatest living expert on resurrection doctrine. When I think of scholars, I think of guys like Francis Schaeffer. You know, some of those giants from yesteryear. But I tell you what, I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. I will grab onto the coattails of scholars and read them and listen to what they have to say. If you're not smart, hang around with people who are. And I may not be a giant, but what I'll do is I'll climb up the back of one and try to stand on their shoulders and see what's coming. You know what I'm saying? It's important. And so when I bring this up to you, it's interesting because very few, in fact, in my reading, I read a guy, Charles Gauvet, I believe it is. He's a French theologian. He lived about 250 years ago. He made mention of exactly what God had cooked upon my heart, which is a lot of fun. As we look at this portion of Isaiah, here's the reason why. People have come away from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19, 20, and 21 with an understanding that God is alluding or hinting to the fact of God gathering his people together, not only Israel in the context of Isaiah 26, but none other than the rapture that is God's invitation to the believers among the Gentile world, the church. And it's quite interesting. We talked about the rapture on Sunday, and here we are talking about it again tonight, and that was not by design. So you need to just please believe me right now. I'm not on some hobby horse today. I'm telling you right now, God must be wanting to say something to us. Man, wouldn't it be great that we preach two messages in a row on the rapture, and then it happens later tonight. Please, God. I mean, it would make me look really good, but I don't think that we would care because we'd be in the presence of God. It'd be awesome. So Isaiah chapter 26, look at verses 19 to 21 with me in your Bibles, and have your highlighters and your pens ready if you would, because we're looking at a message entitled tonight, Come My People. Isaiah 26, verses 19 to 21. Your dead shall live, says the prophet, God speaking through him. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs. And the earth shall cast out the dead. Verse 20. Come, my people. Enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, or why would this be necessary? Well, verse 21 says, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, for their sins. The earth will also disclose her blood or reveal it or bring it up. It's kind of an eerie statement. It's a teaching that would hearken you back to when Cain killed Abel. Remember what God said when Cain killed Abel? Cain's trying to justify himself. And God looks at Cain and says, what are you doing? Your brother's blood is speaking to me. Isn't that creepy? That's eerie, isn't it? The earth will no longer, or the earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Isaiah 26 opens, the chapter, remember, opens with those three amazing words that you've learned about in this book, in that day. Bible students, if you missed this, circle it again. Chapter 26, verse 1 says, in that day, a reference, always a reference to the Bible student that God is talking about a future event. He's speaking about a future event, something that is going to happen. And yes, the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 to 21, is God gathering his people back, Israel, into the land in the latter days. There's no doubt about that. You can be any form of a theologian tonight, liberal or moderate or conservative. And the truth of the matter is that the Bible teaches, Isaiah teaches, that God is going to gather his people back into their own land in the last days. There's no doubt that chapter 26 is speaking of that. And so when he says in that day, listen, for those of you who don't understand Israel's place in Bible prophecy, just know this, in that day, God is speaking, look, what, 2,740 years ago, that God will bring Israel back into the land, and here we are in the 21st century tonight, and God is still speaking to us that he's going to bring Israel back into their own land. The amazing thing for you and I is, since 1948, Israel has been back in their own land. You would rightly argue tonight, but Jack, they don't believe in the Lord. And you are correct, and you're also theologically correct, because God said in Ezekiel he would bring them back into their own land in the last days before he returned, and they would come in unbelief. You're right, they don't believe. They will later. That later is the 7-year tribulation period. That's what it's for. And so Isaiah is speaking and he's seeing words, as it were, personified and materialized out into the future. In that day, God is going to work. By backing this up, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, awesome portion of scripture. If you're a preterist tonight, maybe you're here or you're watching right now and you're a preterist. If you're not a preterist, or if you don't know what a preterist means, you're not one. If you are a preterist, you're not going to like this verse in Jeremiah 31. But that's tough because it's the Bible. Jeremiah 31, 31 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. So not that one, God is saying. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them. Remember that tonight. God, he says in the Bible, is married. God the Father is married to the nation of Israel. Did you know that? He says that numerous places in the Bible. The Father, Jehovah, is married to Israel. God, he says that throughout the Old Testament. He says, I was a husband to them, says the Lord, verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, Yahweh. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's going to gather them together. As I said a moment ago, believing Israel will come about during and because of that seven-year tribulation period that is yet future. But many Bible students see in this portion of verses that we're looking at tonight a veiled reference to something even broader than the regathering of the nation of Israel. And it is not a stretch to see that it not only speaks to Israel, but beyond. Before we look at this, I want you to see on a slide. This is very cool. This is from the year 422 AD by St. Augustine, Augustine of Hippo. Whenever you've ever heard somebody say, you know, St. Augustine or Augustine, this is who they're talking about. Listen to what he said. This is cool. The New Testament is in the old contained. The Old Testament is in the new explained. The New Testament is in the old concealed. The Old Testament is in the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. The New Testament is in the Old Testament enfolded or tucked away. The Old Testament is in the New Testament unfolded. There is not another God in the Old Testament and a different God in the New Testament. It's the same God. He's the same one. But he reveals himself in what we would call epochs or dispensations. There are times. Right now, you are living in what is referred to in theological terms as the dispensation of grace or the church age. There's so much you and I take for granted. Even if you're here tonight and you are a full-blown atheist unbeliever in God, you are so blessed by the God you don't believe in. You really are. You say, I don't think so. You're breathing. He even allows you to think. He allows you to think your stupid thoughts that you're thinking. And he doesn't smack you around for it. You want to know why? Because this is the age of God's grace. And the Bible teaches clearly that there's going to come a day. Like when, remember, we mentioned on Sunday, when Noah's ark, remember when the door shut? By the way, did Noah shut the door on the ark? No. The Bible says Noah got in and God shut the door. There's going to be a day when God shuts the door. And the clock begins to tick again. And it has to deal, by the way, with the church, and it has to deal with the nation of Israel. And the world, by the way, gets caught in the middle of God moving in that tribulation period. But what is in the New Testament revealed to us now today by this wonderful privilege that you and I have has been always tucked away in the old. God doesn't create truth. God is truth. And it's eternal. So tonight, listen carefully, the most single important factor to understanding the doctrine of the rapture is this, that it is the teaching regarding an event that is exclusively reserved for the church. You ought to write that down or think about that for a moment. One of the most important things that you need to remember about the rapture and the teaching of the rapture is this, is that it is exclusively reserved for the church age believers. Hopefully we'll explain that tonight. It's not for Israel as the nation goes. It is not for Israel regarding the populace of the Jewish believer in the future days. It's something that is reserved for the church. The epistles in the scripture, Jesus himself makes that very, very clear. So before we go any further, I want you to be reminded and think or be refreshed regarding what is the church. Think about it right now. What is the church? Whenever I think about the church in light of Old Testament truth, I always think of Ruth and Boaz. Remember Boaz? He's a Jew, super Jew, by the way. I mean, he was super qualified to be the kinsman redeemer. If you know the story of Ruth and Boaz, it's awesome. One of the greatest love stories ever written, by the way, Ruth and Boaz. A Jew, Boaz. Ruth, was she a Jew? No. This Jew who had everything, gave up opportunity, gave up things that were at his disposal to bless a Gentile girl, to reach out to her, to see to it that she didn't starve. He gave her gifts and he wound up falling in love with her. Or maybe it actually doesn't say, maybe he loved her before he even gave her any gifts. It doesn't say. But he had an eye for her and he blessed her life. And Boaz and Ruth, Jew and Gentile, in that lineage that came from them, you have none other than people in their bloodline that came from that love, such as King David. And the list goes down and down all the way, of course, including Solomon, but all the way down, all the way down, all the way down, or I should say all the way up, to one called, named Jesus, the Son of God, born unto Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. God at work, God moving. And all of this, God has brought together this thing called the church, which is Gentile predominantly, but with Jewish blood still in it. Isn't it amazing? So you remember that as we look at this tonight. I want to say also that there's unnecessary confusion that arises regarding the rapture of the church, and that's unfortunate because church denominations have polluted the simple teaching of the Bible just at face value. There's false teaching that comes out of what is called replacement theology, that somehow the Israel has been disqualified by God. Israel, wherever you find Israel or saints in the Old Testament, you take that out and the saints are the believers and Israel is the church, and that's who we are today. You do that and you're going to be completely messed up in your Bible theology and in eschatology, which is the study of future events. You'll be completely whacked out. Israel is Israel, the church is the church, and that's what God makes very clear in the Bible. And when you don't understand that, then you've got people confusing the event of the rapture. You shouldn't do that. So here we go, looking at this together. Come, my people, we look at verse 19, and the first argument is transformation is the hope of every true believer. And I'm going to try to go fast now, okay? You got to hold me to this. You just cheer me on, and I'll go fast. He says, your dead body or your dead shall live together. Together with my dead body shall they arise. The word in Hebrew here for arise is amazing. It's a word transformation. It means this. It means for a dead thing or person in this case to stand up. Dead people don't stand up. Dead people can't stand up. Whoever's dead stands again. Now, definitely it refers to the nation of Israel. God's made that promise. It was spiritually dead, but it's going to stand again. That's true. Nobody debates that. But the message goes deeper than that. Certainly, a person who, according to the Bible, is spiritually dead needs to be born again. We know that. But the word means to stand up, to rise up. The word means to live again, resurrected life, to come back from the dead. So you're dead. Who are these? Whoever they are. They are spiritually dead by context, Isaiah 26, and they could very well be physically dead as well. The word means both. It's a broad, powerful word. The resurrection of the dead is something that we saw on Sunday. And if you missed it, go ahead and look it up online. The resurrection is part of the rapture experience. The rapture for the believer is something that causes the dead in Christ to be resurrected from the dead. We saw that. But listen, you'd make a mistake if you thought that the rapture is only in that part of the Bible, like that somehow disqualifies it. Well, the rapture is only right there in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, which is not. It's in various places. But be careful when you talk about rapture, because there are numerous raptures in the Bible. I'll give you one right now. You ready to write this down? You have to write it down because you don't see it on the screen. It's Genesis chapter 5. Enoch got raptured. Did you know that? Enoch was walking around talking to God, had a great time with God, and God told Enoch, you're going home with me today. And Enoch didn't die. How cool would that be? Would you like that? I mean, if you're like, I don't think I'd like that. You're a weirdo. What's wrong with, who wants to die? I want to go to heaven. I know we got to go to heaven by death, unless, I'm all for the unless. Unless the rapture happens. Enoch was walking with God. J. Vernon McGee's so cute. J. Vernon McGee says that one day, you know, Enoch walked with God, and he walked so much with God that day that God stopped and said, Enoch, you know what? I just realized how far we've walked and talked today. And Enoch says, it's been a great day. And God says, well, you know what? It's closer to my house than it is to your house. Let's just go to my house. I like that. I like that. 2 Kings chapter 2. You know who else missed death altogether? Elijah. Elijah was serving the Lord, and God said, hey, I'm gonna take you up and out of here. And the Bible tells us that the heavens opened up. This is freaky awesome. Eternity invades our material world. Elijah's ministering and living. Elijah is hanging out with him. That's a great story. Read it later. Elijah, his buddy, the prophet in training, and Elijah, the prophet of Israel. The clouds begin to part, and coming out of the atmosphere from the spiritual into the physical realm is like a tornado in chariots of fire from God. And the Bible tells us that Elijah was taken up into that whirlwind of chariots into heaven. Elijah never died. While he was still living, the Apostle Paul experienced a rapture type event in 2 Corinthians 12 when he was caught up to the third heaven, that is the presence of God. And he said, I saw things that are illegal for a person to speak about or write a book about and sell and make a million copies. In the future, in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, the two witnesses will stand for the gospel, speaking the gospel in Israel. They'll be murdered, remember, they'll be killed in Jerusalem for speaking the gospel. The Bible tells us that their dead bodies will lie in the street in Jerusalem for 3 days, and then the Spirit of God will enter in them. He will resurrect them. They will stand on their feet, and the Bible says that they will be caught up into heaven in sight, in view of everyone watching. CNN, can you imagine Fox News? Everyone's like, oh my gosh, whoa, what? And they're gonna see them go up. That's awesome. That's a form of rapture. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, he says that he was seeing this revelation and he was caught up into the day of the Lord. And by the way, from that time on, during the giving of the book of Revelation, John's vantage point was from heaven above from that time forward. Never back on earth again.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Come, My People. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate it. And when the Lord closes the door, don't be left out. Come to Jesus Christ today. Come, My People is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we journey through this book of Isaiah, the prophecies he gave to Isaiah will give us a clear insight into the heart of God. Isaiah knew how much God loved him and also how much he loved Israel. He trusted God and he trusted the visions of the future that God was giving him. And you know, God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. Only his love can save us from the sin that separates us from him. So, if you've recently made a decision for salvation through Jesus Christ, or maybe you're ready to open up your heart towards him right now, but you've still got a few questions, well, we'd like to help. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll see a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll not only find Bible scriptures to support your decision for Christ, but a special video invitation from Pastor Jack about what your commitment really means for your life. There's also a place for you to give us your email address and ask further questions if you'd like. It's all right there when you click that tab called Know God at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.